WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR Live. If you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. It's that simple. Also, use credit code ROCKETSTALK in the Fortnite item shop because we are hashtag epic partners, brand new season of Fortnite and all that fun stuff. So buy the skins and all the battle passes your heart desires. I am the producer, Sir Rockin. Taking a sick day to join us, it's the one and only Keishi Matsunaga.
That's right. My final battle of 2022 is apparently against the flu. So Curling's loss is also your loss.
Yay. Then we have the intern, Kane Kittens.
Wait. What is this about taking a day off?
I know, it's fine.
I don't understand this.
I know.
I mean, I work from home.
So are you really taking a day off if you're working from home?
Well, the 2 days that I slept for like 10 hours, yes.
Oh, okay. Well then.
And then there's the one and only Tim Stein.
Oh, but is there the one and only Tim Stein?
There is. He didn't touch anything. Yay!
Everything works until I put my hands on the mic and it falls. Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And Keishi?
Yes.
Feel better.
I will try. Thank you, Lindsay.
That came from me. What the hell?
Well, I'm talking about Lindsay in the chat. She said it first. Oh, I'm just assuming that you're writing Lindsay's well wishes, which also I gladly accept.
I was not writing her well wishes coattails. I was actually busy doing other things while I was telling you to get better. Awesome. And I wasn't looking at the screen. But now I see at the screen, it says, feel better, Keishi, from Lindsay Ward.
Yes. So, theoretically, yeah, right now, I'm in my comeback spot. Hopefully it's not, I won't get cut off. We'll see.
We'll see what happens. All right. Well, is it actually the flu or just like mega cold?
Well, I experienced a whole lot of fevers and stuff that felt flu related. So I'm just assuming it's a flu.
Ah, well, my fingers are crossed that you get better quickly.
Me too.
I'm sure a lot of people listening, finding out that you're under the weather, hope that you're above the weather shortly. So that's all.
Yes.
Good. Yeah. My question is, how loud is my microphone?
It was better up until like 3 seconds ago.
Okay. Because I have a brand spanking new computer, everybody. I picked one up this afternoon.
New. Is it new? Is it actually new?
I bought it from... Okay,
is it new or new to you?
I bought it from a computer shop.
So it's new to you.
There we go.
Okay, it's refurbished. However, it's not a Kijiji purchase.
That's something.
Okay. So that says something right there. I actually shelled out an extra $30 than I normally would have to get something that has new parts put into it and will work for at least 3 months because that's the warranty.
Wait, time out, time out. I have to ask this question. Did you just say you shelled out an extra $30 for this thing?
Extra 30 on top of what I would have normally spent had I bought it off Kijiji.
Was that the $30 for the 3 month warranty?
No, that was the 3 month warranty was included.
The Tim signed special.
How much I paid for the computer?
How much did you pay for the computer, Tim?
$79 plus tax. I was going to say plus GST, but the Americans wouldn't know what that was.
Is it a Chromebook?
No, it's a Dell computer.
Oh, dude.
What?
It's a Dell.
Is that good?
I don't know.
He was imitating the catchphrase
from like 1998.
Dude, you're getting a Dell.
Dude, it's a Dell. Yeah, it's a Dell Optiplex.
And I knew that. I'm pretty sure the four of us knew what that was about. Yeah, I guess you might be too old for it, Tim.
No, that's not it. It's my memory has been buggered up ever since my head injury.
Oh, well.
Yeah, what's your name again?
Exactly.
Yeah. His name is Dave. It's a Dell Optiplex. It came with a solid state drive, which what's that?
An octopus?
Optiplex. Get the cotton out of your ears. I said cotton.
I'm sorry. Tell us more about your octagon.
You're an idiot. Anyway, it came with a solid state drive that I immediately tore out of the thing and put in my SATA drive. So I'm going to be selling an absolutely brand spanking new SSD drive, and it'll be a bit of a deal. Never used. It's loaded with Windows 10, so basically all you gotta do is plug it in and it's good to go. Let me know if you want one. I'll sell it to you for a great deal. Only $69.
Can I just make a suggestion?
Oh my god.
Hang on to that SSD for when inevitably the other hard drive fails, so that way you have the backup.
But I've got 5 other terabyte hard drives.
I would still hang on to it.
No, you know, I got 5 other hard drives that I can work to exhaustion before I have to worry about it. I'm not holding on to this SSD. It's not as big as the SATA that I put in there.
But it's an SSD.
You're saying that like it's a good thing.
It is.
Hey, one good earthquake and that thing's buggered up.
You're in Alberta, Tim.
Did you not hear about the earthquake that happened just northwest of Edmonton, 5.8 on the Richter scale?
You're in Calgary, Tim. You're nowhere near that earthquake just because we're in the same province. It's like being on opposite ends of California.
Texas is bigger.
Well, whatever.
But California gets earthquakes, so.
Yeah.
The state of California contains the same number of people as the entire country of Canada. Let that sink in. And Canada is the second largest country on the planet.
Yeah, it's just we're smart enough to live not where the earthquakes are.
Well, it's just like this is why our reputation as really friendly folk exists. It's because we live so far away from each other, we don't get on everybody's each other's nerves. And so it's like when we see somebody, says, "Oh, hey, how's it going, eh?" Because like you know we're so spread out.
Anyway,
We're doing a wrestling show tonight. So this is my first time back after a couple of weeks because of issues. And it was one after the other, you know, first my internet and then the computer. But and before that, it was the microphone. So we're all good to go. We can talk wrestling almost any time now.
We can talk wrestling. So that's good. So we're good. We're debuting a new feature on this show.
It is
the intern's Honor of the Ring 10-minute speed recap of Final Battle 2022.
Okay, before he starts, I'll be back in 9.5 minutes.
That's fine. We have a timer on the screen.
I cannot see said timer, so I'm working blind here.
We'll keep you informed. You have 10 minutes on the clock, and there will be a buzzer that goes off, I assume, at the end.
Okay, so, I normally have 30 minutes to go over AEW, so this is even more succinct. Let's try.
And it won't be like a random announcement from the announcer. No. 3 minutes gone.
3 minutes remaining.
Now we'll give him updates as we go. And Keish, feel free if you've seen the show to chime in and help him in his 10 minutes. So you know if you've seen the show, I'm not sure if you saw that one or not.
I did not get around to watching it, but I did see one thing.
Okay.
So I can help him with the one thing.
This is an experiment to see how this goes. We have 10 minutes on the clock. Are you ready, Brent?
Am I ever ready?
And the clock starts now.
Okay, so just like AEW, holy shit, there were 12 matches as part of Final Battle.
12. Wow.
There was 4 pre-show and 8 regular show matches. So we're going to breeze right through this pre-show because that's exactly what they did on the show. So Jeff Cobb beat Grand Metalik, making his debut. It was basically what you expect. They kept referring to Grand Metalik as, you know, like, whatever, Master of the Ropes or something. And they said it about 40 times during his match. Yippity-doo-dah. Jeff Cobb, big Hawaiian guy who at one point rode Grand Metalik like a surfboard. Woo.
Woo.
And ended up with him giving him the tour of the islands for the victory.
All right.
They then shook hands and he told them to GTFO out of the ring.
Okay.
Next up, we have 2.0. That's right. The comedy relief of the Jericho Appreciation Society taking on the Shinobi Shadow Squad, which was Eli Isom and someone named Cheeseburger.
Yeah, Cheeseburger.
Which basically, I don't even know how to describe what he was.
He's an ROH staple character.
Okay, great. Basically, he's like if Danhausen and Orange Cassidy had a less charismatic baby. But it's still, you know, comedy shtick. You had the Jericho Appreciation Society mocking the handshake and everything. That was about the first half of the match. And then the last half was just, yeah, they won. That was it. That's all I can really say about this. The one impressive thing was Eli Isom doing the corner double spear onto 2.0, but it was basically written in the cards of what was going to happen. Next up, as the announcers called her, AEW's like staple right now, Willow Nightingale took on Trisha Dora.
5 match winning streak.
Okay. That was about the one that I know of. Willow's been on AEW recently. I don't know if I'd necessarily call her a staple, but she's been on there. Trish is her sometimes tag team partner, though I don't think they're friends. It's just they just so happen to tag team every so often. Boy, both of these girls could use some work, just saying. I mean, Willow's got some charisma, but this match was not good. They tried, but it was a AEW-style women's match where it left a lot to be desired. Okay. In the end, Willow hit the pound and got the pinfall victory. And finally, in your super flippy match of the pre-show, Top Flight took on The Kingdom. Former Ring of Honor staples, Matt Taven, Mike Bennett, and Maria Kanellis Bennett. Overall, not a bad match. You got to see Dante and Darius back. Darius did stay healthy, so that's a plus for him. In the end, Top Flight won with the nosedive, I think is what it's called, with both people actually being able to carry off the move.
Yeah, knocked Mike Bennett out.
What?
It knocked Mike Bennett out.
Oops. Oh, okay. Legitimately?
No, not legit. Also, okay. You have 6 minutes to go.
The one thing I don't understand is how did both guys get the pinfall?
Referee's discretion.
I was just about to say that.
But it's not a title match. Referee discretion not be involved. Oh, by the way, we have found out later on that the referee does not want to disqualify people because it is a pay-per-view.
Okay.
So apparently that is the new rule, that if it's a pay-per-view. Now we're going to get into the first match of the actual card, which really felt like another pre-show match. Blake Christian and newest AEW signee AR Fox taking on La Faction Ignoborables, Rush, and his brother Dralistico.
Okay, 5.5 minutes.
Okay. The most notable thing about this match was the finish, which wasn't supposed to be the finish.
Nope.
So AR Fox gets the victory. He rolls up, I believe, Dralistico, and it was 1, 2, 3, kick out at 3.25, and AR Fox looks at the referee and goes, was that 3? And they ring the bell. Not supposed to end that way. The Faction gets their heat back, though, by a post-match beatdown and a horrible-looking chair shot to the head on Blake Christian. Don't know why we're still doing that in this day and age, but apparently we are. It was not good.
Ugh.
Next up, we have our Ring of Honor Women's World Championship, Athena taking on Mercedes Martinez. Athena comes out with a googly eye right in the middle of her forehead. I can only think that's a Everything Everywhere All at Once reference, but it's kind of lost on everyone because most people on the internet is going, why does she have a googly eye on her head?
I thought that movie got rave reviews.
Oh, it got great reviews, but I'm just saying, with a overall wrestling outcome, I don't think they're going to know, you know, what wasn't a blockbuster film.
That's fair.
Athena comes out with her new aggressive streak ever since she fought the one girl back in Toronto, the hometown girl, and worked that match stiff. Good match, hard-hitting match. Athena picks up the win with the O-face. Still feel uncomfortable calling it that. But yeah, Athena becomes your new ROH Women's World Champion. So good on her for getting a belt. She'll now be relegated into somewhat obscurity because of holding that belt.
Was she stiff with Martinez?
Oh yeah, but that's because Martinez welcomes stiff as well.
So. I was gonna say, was it like a mutual beatdown?
Yeah.
Oh, it was. They were going back and forth with each other.
All yeah. Right.
3 minutes.
All right. Next up, hey Rock, did you know Swerve and Our Glory is still a tag team?
No.
I have no clue why or how, but Swerve and Our Glory was a tag team for this next match against Shane Taylor Promotions. Shane Taylor and JD Griffey making his debut. I'm guessing he's some kind of MMA fighter because he was dressed as such, and he worked that style. Basically, it was the whole thing of Keith Lee and Shane were kind of staying away for most of the match until they got together and got the big spot where the crowd went wild. Ultimately, Swerve got hit by Keith Lee accidentally. Swerve decided to take his ball and go home, and yet somehow Keith Lee still picks up the win against two guys. So,
yay.
Are they still a team? Are they not? We'll find out later. Probably like 2 weeks from now on AEW Rampage.
2 minutes.
Next up, your six-man tag team match for the ROH six-man tag team championships. The Embassy, Brian Cage and the Gates of Agony take on Dalton Castle and the boys. I have no clue what Dalton Castle is supposed to be.
Peacocks.
Okay, yeah, great. But I mean, just his overall presentation. Not sure what he's supposed to be, yet
Peacocks.
People love him.
Peacocks.
Okay, great. In the end, Dalton Castle and the boys were unsuccessful in retaining their titles, so your new champions are the Embassy, three big dudes. We'll see how that works.
Yeah.
The ROH Pure Championship is up next. Wheeler Yuta taking on Daniel Garcia. It's what you thought you were going to get from these two guys, a really good wrestling match. Ultimately, the guy that they're trying to push, Wheeler Yuta, gets the win. He is the new Pure Champion for the second time. Daniel Garcia kicked the belt away first, or kicked the hand away first from Wheeler Yuta, but then hands him the belt because, you know, honor, even though his group is all about dishonoring it. But yeah, Wheeler Yuta is your champion. Then we got basically your WB family-friendly match. It was a double dog collar match for your tag team titles. The Briscoes versus FTR. Holy God, if you have any stock in medical supplies, it was needed for this match. I think even the referee bled, right, Rock?
Yep.
So we had five people bleeding in this match, four participants and the ref.
Hot dog.
In the end,
They were all chained together four ways by dog collars, correct?
I believe so.
No, it was one
to each other.
Oh, do you know how much more hilarious it would have been if they were all connected together?
But in the end, your Briscoes are, I believe, it's the 13-time tag team champion.
And that's Ring of Honor.
You almost
made
it.
Damn, there's still two matches left. Look, it's 12 matches. I tried in 10 minutes.
All right. You got five more minutes. Go.
Okay. So, yeah, your Briscoes win. They're not going to end up on TV because the Warner Brother Group has said basically the Briscoes are not allowed to be on TV. So, and we'll touch on this at the very end, what this means for the company at large. Next up, Samoa Joe took on Juice Robinson for the ROH World Television Champion, Joe being the king of television and a champ in Ring of Honor and AEW. The former Mr. Man Panties was making his big Ring of Honor debut, I believe, after being signed, and ultimately came up just short against Samoa Joe, who still gets to be the champ.
Yay.
And then finally, your main event. For the Ring of Honor World Championship, you have Claudio Castagnoli taking on the Ocho, the person who is claiming to be the greatest Ring of Honor champion of all time, Chris Jericho. And the stipulation was if Claudio loses, he will have to join the Jericho Appreciation Society. I mean, two good workers putting on a match. the ending, some people don't have a problem with it. Hey, Keishi,
yo,
what do you think of someone tapping out to the giant swing?
Okay, this is the probably one of the few things that I saw about that, and I will say this. If it was a very select few people could theoretically tap out to a giant swing and have it be legit, especially when someone is spinning them around in circles of the caliber that is Cesaro. Could Cesaro do that forever and ever and ever if he wanted to? Absolutely. And based on the build of this match, would he have done that to Jericho for as long as he frickin' wanted to? Probably. So if you look at it from a perspective of Chris Jericho tapping out to a giant swing, he is one of the few people that could do it and not lose anything out of it for multiple reasons. One, he's a heel, so it makes sense for him to tap out to a giant swing. Two, based on the build of that and him saying all of that stuff and knowing that Cesaro is basically going to come at him with everything, it's a matter of, well, I'm either going to be in this swing forever or I give up, which is probably one of the things that he'll talk about later. And additionally, oh, I had another thing and I lost it. I'll blame the sickness.
I will say this. Rock brought up this point, and I will give him credit on it. It does somewhat legitimize that move by having someone actually tap.
100%. And, like, if I was spun around the amount of times that he spun Jericho over that, and for some reason, like, I lost focus and started losing my mind, I would probably tap out too.
See, for me, it would have been something different of it if he didn't tap, if he had just simply passed out.
Yes, that also would have been a thing.
Like, if he had spun, and then just put him down, and you just see Jericho is completely out of it, like the referee tries to raise the hand and it's just gone, that would be something else, because it's like, yes, the blood left his head, he's out of it, he cannot continue, referee stoppage, winner of the match.
But, oh, that reminds me, that's the third thing I was going to make. Jericho can also come out and say, I was just about to vomit. Do I want to vomit in the middle of the ring? No. So I'm going to tap out, because that saves him from, quote-unquote, embarrassment of puking in the ring.
Fair enough.
As a heel, you can spin that in so many ways that tapping out to a giant swing will work. If it was the other way around and, like, some baby face had to tap out to it, it wouldn't go quite as good. And having someone like Jericho tap out to it, and with Jericho being the character that he is and in the position that he is within AEW and all that other stuff, he can swing it in a way that will be acceptable. Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, in the end, at the post-match presser, we got the latest news about Ring of Honor,
which we'll get to in a minute.
Okay.
We won't put that in here. So
okay.
You have 10 seconds. Tell me, final thought.
It was a Ring of Honor show. Basically, you see Tony Khan take it over. There were a bunch of empty seats on hard cam. Did not look good. Still the same production value.
And there you go. So it took 15 minutes for the speed recap. Not so bad.
That worked.
All right. So you brought it up. Ring of Honor is moving back to television in 2023 with a brand new deal on a streaming service that they've already been on called the Honor Club, which you can pay $9.99 a month to watch Ring of Honor television starting in 2023. But if you want it now, you can get 2,000 plus hours of old Ring of Honor content, plus the first two pay-per-views that Ring of Honor has done under the Tony Khan era, and then every pay-per-view thereafter, after it airs on traditional pay-per-view for 90 days, will be yours for $9.99. We excited for Ring of Honor television, even though it's not television?
Here's the thing about the Ring of Honor television. I think I would be a little more interested in it if I knew who was actually Ring of Honor. If you go to the Ring of Honor website, the only people listed on the roster were the title holders and the Briscoes.
Well, they're still working on it. I mean,
which was 10 people. He's had this company for a year.
No, it hasn't been a year yet. It was only March?
I thought he took over Final Battle.
No. No,
Final Battle was the last pay-per-view that was put on by
previous. That's right.
So it's less than a year.
Okay.
It's going to feature talent from New Japan. It's going to feature talent probably from its other partners, DDPT and the Lucha promotions that they work with, according to Tony. I mean, it's a great value, right, Cash? $10 Ring of Honor. I mean, you don't see it anywhere else.
I mean, I guess it depends. For me, it's going to depend on like what they do with the roster that they bring in and whether or not they are exclusive to ROH television. Because if you're able to see a lot of those guys wrestle in other places, it may not make that juice worth the squeeze, per se.
You mean if you can see Samoa Joe defending the ROH television title on Rampage?
Yes, 100%.
I would assume it's going to be more exclusive. As he said, it should be more exclusive.
Yeah, but I'm confident he'll probably start breaking it up.
Because he has to.
You have to. But, I mean, I guess for me, it'd be kind of a wait-and-see thing. I can't really... I'm not going to talk too much crap about it because I subscribe to New Japan.
But that's New Japan. Okay. New Japan's an exception. We'll go with this. We'll go here in North America. The NWA subscription service. It didn't go very well.
No.
Did it go at all?
They attempted to.
Yeah. And I mean, I suppose this is just kind of maybe Tony's, you know.
He needed a deal. He didn't want to do YouTube. Yes. I don't understand. He's already doing a YouTube show, two of its shows. So putting Ring of Honor on YouTube, which would have gained more exposure.
Like this, you get $9.99.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
You could probably make more on YouTube with ads.
I wonder if he reached out to like Fight TV to get a deal with them or something. Or there are other like conglomerate apps where you can watch multiple promotions, right?
Oh, Fight.tv? Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I mean,
a deal with them for international for AEW.
Okay, so yeah, they could have tried to go through them with ROH, and I mean, they still might, you know, maybe Fight. For all we know. This could be one of those things where they might have some tentative deals, but a lot of those people will be like, well, we kind of want to see how successful it could be. So Tony Khan decided to do, you know, Honor Club. Who knows? It's hard to say.
And he's been investing in Honor Club since he's taken over the promotion.
Yeah.
I have more of a feeling that he was probably trying to angle for like HBO Max. Before a lot of this reorg hit.
Oh, he was.
Very much so.
And then the reorg hit, and it kind of was like, oh, shit.
He mentioned in the presser he was trying to get WarnerMedia to be familiar with the ROH product because they knew nothing about it. Shocker. And which is why it was all over television. He was trying to hard sell it. And I think the decisions you saw at Final Battle made it clear they passed because the talk was they put the belt on Jericho because he's big name. Jericho no longer has a belt. They don't have TV. I think that's kind of your example of it. It did not go as planned.
Yeah, I feel like Honor Club is just kind of like a backup plan to all of the efforts to try and get a TV deal. And so they'll have it there, maybe not permanently, but it'll give people somewhere to watch at the very least ROH pay-per-views.
After 90 days.
Yeah, which is, I don't know, it's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing because they have the deal with Bleacher Report Warner Media where they're airing the pay-per-views and then I guess you can buy it up to a certain point and go from there.
Yeah.
It's like WWE's deals with other...
Yeah, and who's to say further on down the line he doesn't decide to start putting, you know, a darker and elevation type show on YouTube for ROH as well.
Possible.
As he goes further down the line and like he kind of gets some raw data on how successful Honor Club is in its current iteration. You never know.
How many people do you think, Casey, that it'll take for it to be profitable?
I feel like I don't know if there's any way to not sound like a jerk about it, but I feel like it's going to take more than the amount of people that will subscribe to Honor Club in order for it to be what he wants.
Because AEW pay-per-views traditionally do between 100,000 to 130,000 buys. That's AEW, that's pay-per-view buys. I don't know if that's international, I don't know if that's just here in the U.S., but that's the number they tout for how successful they've been. Ring of Honor is around 20,000. I don't see you having the ability to take those 20,000 people and converting them to subscribers.
Oh yeah, not that entire population is not becoming subscribers.
No, I don't think so. Not at all.
Which now you're creating a promotion with very limited exposure. This goes back to NWA Power and that whole setup where they had a popular following on YouTube, then went to the paywall.
And lost a lot.
And lost it all. No one was talking. There was, like, no traction for the promotion.
It took them putting their belt on a guy who shows up on a news channel, essentially, to get some people talking.
That's funny.
So at the end of the day, I'm not sure this move is going to be successful.
No, but hopefully they figure out sooner rather than later and do some sort of pivot to keep it going. Because, I mean, I don't think that Tony doesn't believe in ROH. It's just, I think he's taking the wrong approach to it.
I think he had, as a wrestling fan, he had the expectation. Oh, everyone knows Ring of Honor. No.
His fan base knows Ring of Honor. That's about it.
And that's a hard sell.
Especially when most of the people that were Ring of Honor are either now already on AEW or, you know, are in other companies.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's like, you can go back and watch like old, you know, Kevin Steen, El Generico, CM Punk, Bryan Danielson. You can go back and see all of their old matches and it's like, oh, that's great. But you're not getting that nowadays.
No.
And no offense, a lot of the guys that worked Ring of Honor before they closed and even some of the guys that are there now, you're kind of like, who? Like, I couldn't pick Flip Gordon out of a lineup. I've heard the name. I know that he's had, you know, I know at one point, I think he was even part of the Bullet Club, maybe.
He was very, he was aligned with the Elite, and they were pushing him hard on their socials and YouTubes and stuff.
Mm-hmm. But again, like, I can't pick out who he was.
No.
And he hasn't really been featured outside of what was Ring of Honor before it
became,
you know, shuttered.
Yeah.
And became the new version.
So, one person who will not be involved in either AEW or Ring of Honor going forward is William Regal. He's headed back to World Wrestling Entertainment at the end of the year to be with his son, to help coach and produce his son.
I mean, that's cool. I like that.
And I think he handled it the right way of going to Tony and expressing his desire and wanting to be let go of the contract.
I think Tony made the right move of letting him go. As far as like a, what's the word? Not being a dick businessman perspective. Not the words I was looking for, but they're the only ones I could find.
In some ways, yes. In some ways, I'll say yes to that. In other ways, I think he's still a little bit, because it was one of those things when he did his press conference for, I think it was Final Battle, right, Rock?
The media call was for Final Battle, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he's expressing, because it was the first thing everyone was going to ask, and he starts going into, you know, what happened with Will Regal, and yeah, he was approached and this and that. And then he throws in there this little tidbit of he thought it was surprising and almost you could tell he thought it was a little disrespectful that Hunter pulled out the William Regal War Games clips before War Games pay-per-view. And it's just one of those kinds of things like you could have simply said, hey, we're, you know, this is what happened with William Regal. He wants to go work with his son. I totally respect that. We have a deal where, you know, he's agreed, you know, it's a partial release and he agrees to abide by certain concepts of it. That's cool. That's all we really need to say about it. But if he had done that, I would have been perfect. Handled it great. But he always has to throw in these little things like how he got slighted by someone or like, you know, I'm doing this great thing and then look what they're doing. And it's just like, Tony, just get out of your own way.
And wasn't Tony Khan the one who went out on YouTube and socials to and knocked Nick Khan? When there was talks of WWE working with New Japan,
the one true con of wrestling.
Yeah, the one true con of wrestling. Yeah, you know he can dish it, but he sometimes can't take the receipt. Sometimes.
What do you mean sometimes?
Well, I mean that kind of goes both ways too.
Oh, it does.
So I mean, it's basically the wrestling business.
He's very, very petty. Yes.
At any level, whether it be to multi-million dollar companies with national television deals or your average Joe local indie promotions. Mm-hmm. There are always going to be times of, hey, we're all buddies and we can get along and everything's fine. And then 3 to 6 months later, this guy's dumb and this guy's dumb too. And it's cyclical, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. So Tim, I got a question for you.
What's the question?
What is the greatest wrestling match that has never happened in the history of professional wrestling? And he says nothing. Did we lose Tim?
He's typing. Yep.
Oh, gee.
He's been on the sidelines the entire time. We throw to him now, and then his mic dies. Awesome. Awesome. So we're going to go back to Tim. Brent, what is the greatest wrestling match that has never happened in professional wrestling?
Oh, God. I have two. One of them has taken place between two individuals, but not their actual characters, if it makes sense.
Okay.
The first one is locker room fight?
No. It's the two people wrestled back for one company, but I would like to see the two of their personas actually take on each other at the height.
But then it's a match that you've already said. Then the match has already happened.
Fine. I will use the one that I, to my knowledge, never took place.
Okay, well, let's go with that, because that you're trying to skate around the rule.
Okay. I don't believe Dwayne and Shawn have ever fought.
They have not.
That would be a great matchup. Sure. Or at least would have been a couple of years ago.
Would have been. In their primes. Yeah.
And then another one that I just thought of, because...
No, hold you. You get the one.
Okay, fine!
Because you don't want to steal ideas from the others. We're going to give the others. Then we'll come back to you.
Okay.
Keishi, what is the greatest wrestling match that has never happened?
Well, the first thing that popped into my head when I heard this was Chris Jericho versus Owen Hart. I think that would have been awesome.
Okay.
Not like Chris Jericho today, though. Like Chris Jericho...
Lionheart?
Not even so much like Lionheart, but like...
Pegasus.
What? Pegasus was Benoit.
I know, I was just double checking to see if the mic was working again.
Okay.
Like 98, 99 Jericho at like the height of his WCW / entering into the WWE Jericho.
Okay, so both when they were in their primes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or yeah, 100%. So like if maybe Jericho had moved to WWE like a year sooner and they faced off, it would have been awesome.
It would have been. All right. Tim, what is the greatest wrestling match that's never happened?
Kurt Angle and Bret Hart.
That's a solid choice.
We all know that I like technical wrestling, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with chain wrestling. And these two definitely would be able to put on a clinic.
Okay. All right, Brent, what were your honorable mentions?
Honorable mention, you get two people from their respective eras to face off, Steve Austin, John Cena.
Ooh.
Only because imagine John doing his hustle, loyalty, respect, and Steve just...
Flipping the bird.
Yeah, Steve just walking up going, uh-uh.
uh-uh.
Maybe it happens this year at WrestleMania.
I mean, have you seen Steve Austin? Holy shit.
He's got himself in the shape and jacked. He stayed there.
He's putting in some damn work, son.
Do you have any more, Brent?
I was going to say Steve versus Sting. We saw it in WCW, but I want, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin to take on Sting. Because those were the two people that kind of helped carry their brands. And it would have been fun to see that as a matchup.
Okay. So that was the greatest wrestling match that's never happened. Now on to the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Ha! Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Getting down to the end, it's Ultimate Warrior versus Edge. We go to Brent.
Edge, when that music hits for Edge and he can get that pop is something. But I, as we've talked about throughout this tournament, I don't know if I can totally consider him a babyface in this respect. In terms of Warrior, he got the ovation, and he was always the face. He was always the ones the fans could and would cheer. Edge, the ultimate opportunist, the live sex show, all of that stuff, was made for you to just despise him, but at some point you still cheered him because he was good, but you weren't supposed to, and it wasn't what he was meant to work. In this case, I'll have to go with Warrior.
Keishi.
Yeah, I choose Warrior for a lot of the same reasons. I mean, more on the side of, like, the Warrior was always a baby face, and when he was, like, running his ass to the ring, spending all of his energy shaking ropes and stuff, and you pan to that audience, it was like kids, adults, everyone had like Warrior t-shirts, Warrior armbands, Warrior face paint. You could tell that like kids and adults alike love the Warrior. I mean, Edge would get pretty big pops too with his like Rumble return and stuff like that. But I think just consistently Warrior was a better babyface than Edge.
Tim.
Well, Edge has this one over Warrior. It doesn't matter what I'm picking, but the reason why I'm picking Edge is mainly due to career longevity. More consistently, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, when Edge was a heel and you know he did all of the obnoxious shit, but you know you're paying tribute to him as the heel we love to hate. Whereas I'm looking at the other side of it when he was, you know, when he was in all of his different babyface runs. It's the consistency of it. And the pop that he got at Rumble was absolutely bigger than any pop that Warrior got. Warrior, it was insane. But he was a shooting star and burned out. He was only on the scene for a few years.
Okay.
And that just is not a big enough base to pick him over Edge.
Okay. All right, semifinals. Steve Austin, New Day, Keishi.
Shit.
I picked the New Day for, you know, a lot of the same reasons that most people would pick other baby faces over Steve Austin. Steve Austin was very much an anti-hero more than he was a baby face. And while New Day runs a lot of the stuff that was memorable was as heels, there's a lot of stuff that they did as baby faces that was great too. Maybe not necessarily as, you know, a team overall, but aspects of that team that people would get behind. Kofi Mania and when Big E and Creed had to go through that tag team gauntlet and how much the crowd was behind them to get those wins. And the fact that, like, whether it was storyline or not, but the Usos just walking away because, you know, they're like, Kofi deserves it, and just the fanfare that Kofi got when he won the title, and when Big E cashed in his money in the bank, and like when he called that shot and everyone was excited to see it, when the New Day are faces, the crowd gets like 500% behind them in a baby face way, versus when Austin gets the crowd behind him, it's because they know that he's going to come out and whoop somebody's ass. And I wouldn't necessarily call that a babyface thing, which is why I chose the New Day over Austin.
Brent.
I'm going to go Austin. Yes, the New Day have the fan support. They're beloved. Keishi brings up all the good points of, you know, Kofi Mania. Absolutely. Big E cashing in. Yes, we all wanted to see that moment. You know, the Mania moments where they're coming out of giant boxes of cereal and they're tossing pancakes. For dear God, you had three guys get pancakes over.
And light up unicorn headbands.
Yes, you had grown-ass men wearing light up unicorn headbands. I give them all the respect in the world, and especially because this was a gimmick that, no offense, was meant to fail. When it first hit, you saw those promos, you saw what this was supposed to be, and you were like, oh dear God, this is awful. And yet those three guys took it on themselves to be like, we're gonna get this the fuck over. And did they ever. I respect the New Day for that. However, anytime you hear the glass break, any arena, people instantly jump to their feet. It becomes the must-see moment for what's going to happen, because you know shit is about to go down in a serious way. Hell, Steve hadn't wrestled for years. The glass broke at Mania, and it was like he never left. He went out there and was able to captivate the crowd. You know, he can do that with a promo. He can do that with his in-ring ability. Dude looks, you know, jacked beyond belief now. So who only knows what's going to happen this year. But it's just, anytime Steve came out, everyone was behind him. He was the representative for, you know, any kind of working class person going up against the boss, and especially a crooked boss like Mr. McMahon. So he had everybody supporting him. And that's also a little bit why it hurt so much when he joined the alliance, the corporation. When he turned the back, it was like, oh dear God, he sided with the devil. What happened? So.
All right. It's up to Tim now.
Well, yeah, we've beat to death the circumstances of the New Day and how they got a gimmick that was supposed to kill their careers up into the stratosphere. Steve Austin, I've been saying this for this entire great debate, that Austin isn't a babyface. He's not a heel. He's in a separate class. Yeah, call him anti-hero. more anti-establishment. The one huge reason he was so over is because he represented everybody blue collar. He was every man going up against the assholes and everything. And you just think of some of the things that he did. Yeah, going up against the boss, but the supermarket fight with Booker T.
Oh, so good.
Is such an alternative classic. And really, without that supermarket fight, would we have had Undertaker AJ Styles during the pandemic thing?
Yes.
Well, you know, like, think about that, right? You could look at that as the predecessor for it. Really. Do the stuff.
No, I wouldn't say there.
The Undertaker AJ thing expanded on the whole concept, and it's in a class by itself. But
I think the Matt Hardy stuff was the reason why they could get away with Undertaker stuff. But
anyway, so many different things that Austin did. That yeah, okay, he never got pancakes over, but God damn it, he wasn't going to try. That wasn't it. Beer truck. Two words. Beer truck.
So you're going to Steve Austin?
And I'm picking New Jack. Yeah, it's Steve Austin.
Okay, just moving that along. There we go.
I was gonna say New Jack wasn't even a choice, but okay.
All right, Rey Mysterio, John Cena, Brent.
This one's actually a tougher than it should be because when it comes to Rey's the ultimate underdog. He was always built that way. He was, you know, whenever he got in the match, he was always going to go up against the bigger opponent. He's going to be plucky. He's going to rise above. He'll get tossed around like a rag doll for the most part, but you're still rooting for him because you want to see the little guy succeed. Cena is just your Hulk Hogan style, absolute babyface, you know, who you're supposed to cheer. Did the fans want to at times? No. But were you supposed to? Yes. He was the guy that was the face of the company trying to carry it. When you look up babyface in the dictionary, it is John Cena. So unfortunately, in this matchup, I got to go John wins lull over Ray, just like for the title before CM Punk walked through the curtain again.
Casey?
This one was tough, as Brent said. Brent brought up a lot of very good points as to in favor of each person. But I'm going to say that I'm picking Rey Mysterio. I think Rey was like never give up before never give up was cool. As like a very small man, like his feud with Kevin Nash alone was, you know, something was like
borderline epic.
Yeah. It's, you know, the perfect modern day David versus Goliath. So I'm picking Mysterio. Just buy a lawn dart into a trailer.
Tim.
Bullseye.
Lawn dart into a trailer. That's a good one. I got to remember that. listen, yeah, you know, Cena, after he decided he was going to be there for the kids and never be a bad guy again, and the only heel turn he ever did was when he lifted his toes off the floor and wiggled on his heel. The guy was nobody, even to this day, is able to divide an audience, a crowd like Cena. You got almost 50% of them are screaming, "Let's go, Cena," And the other half were like, Cena sucks. And it's like, tastes great, less filling, tastes great, less filling. it's awesome. And it's just one of those things that is now like when Kurt Angle comes out and everybody sings along, you suck with his music. It's just something that you do now, and mostly for nostalgia reasons than anything else. However, that division factor still remains. Nobody, and I mean nobody, divides a crowd like Cena has the ability to do so, and that would include Rey Mysterio. Babyface Run Rey, everybody's behind him. Again, ultimate underdog. I'm not the first one to say that, and I'm, you know, tonight, and I'm not the first one ever to say that. Think back to his world title win. Don't call it the world heavyweight title. Call it the world title, because Rey won it. The crowd reaction when he got that belt was absolutely on a completely whole other level. And yeah, he's been the little big man in wrestling for his entire career. And just for that, you know, he goes over Cena.
Okay. All right, we got two more. Daniel Bryan, Hulk Hogan, Tim.
Well, like him, love him or hate him, Hogan set the bar for the modern baby face, the modern fan favorite. Not taking away anything from Daniel Bryan, and this has absolutely nothing to do with talent. Otherwise, we'd have a few different names up here, and Hogan wouldn't have even made the cut. Although he, at one point in time, really could wrestle. Watch some of his Japan matches. He actually did know more than five moves, believe it or not, or six or three or whatever count you want to use, whatever particular day of the week you're on. I don't really know what else I can talk about. Hogan set the bar. It's Hogan.
Casey.
Yeah, I agree with Tim. I mean, it's hard to argue against Hulkamania. It was basically the thing that brought wrestling kind of to the mainstream sort of thing that it was today. If it wasn't for Hulkamania, I don't know if wrestling would be where it is. And yes, like Tim said, I'm not saying Hulk Hogan is the better wrestler over Daniel Bryan, because we're not comparing wrestlers, we're comparing baby faces. Hulk Hogan was a better baby face than Daniel Bryan. So yeah, I mean, there isn't much else to say aside from that, in my opinion.
Brent?
Bryan and the Yes Movement is probably one of the best babyface moments of all time. Having that and Kofi Mania were two of those things where legitimately it was sprung up by fans wanting to see someone succeed. And it went against all of the plans that people had, and it forced an absolute rewrite in order to appease them. I think back to like when Bryan when Bryan was in the Wyatt family adjacent and turned
hypothetically,
well, loosely part of the Wyatt family, because I don't know if 3 weeks counts.
I mean you know, he was as much part of the family as Randy Orton. And Randy Orton,
then he was part of
he
the
was
family.
Part of the family. Thanks, Rock. He was
thank
part,
you Rock.
Yeah.
Randy Orton was part of the family.
He was.
I mean, at least Daniel Bryan put on one of the coveralls.
He did. But you know, the fact that he turned on Bray in Seattle, and just the way that arena lost it. And again, it was organic. It was just something like very small things, but everyone got behind it, and it groundswelled, and it was like, wow. And then, I mean, as I said, this took Bryan's, the groundswell for Bryan, caused them to rewrite WrestleMania. They already had people in mind for what was going to be the main event.
Yeah.
They had already locked it in. But the fans from Rumble until then were just like, no, we want this guy. And so they had to think on the fly and go, well, shit, I guess we're going to have to do this. And it took two matches on the same night and a big storyline with Hunter being the ultimate villain in it. But holy shit, it turned into, like I said, one of the greatest WrestleMania moments of all time. Ending with Bryan holding the belts and the fans eating it all up.
Okay.
So that was, like I said, I think it's one of the greatest babyface moments of all time. However, we are talking about, much like John Cena, the greatest babyface entirely of all time in Hulk Hogan. Say your prayers, eat your vitamins, you know, everyone supporting him. And again, I know I've said it before in this tournament, but it's a point that has to be made. If he wasn't such a beloved baby, if he wasn't just the ultimate babyface, the turn at Bash at the Beach would not have had the impact it did, and it would not have resonated with everybody as much as it did, because it was the ultimate betrayal of the good guy.
It was the polar opposite of the Mega Powers handshake.
Right. Anakin was a good guy, I guess.
Oh gosh, Star Trek references. Weird. Can we not do Star Trek references?
That's Star Wars, you asshole.
That's Star Wars.
Thank you. But it's like, okay, Anakin Star was Trek. On the light side and he turned dark. Fine, but everyone loved Vader. It would just be like if Vader was beloved and then turned, and everyone was like, "Oh my god, I can't believe this." If Luke Skywalker turned to the dark side, and I mean, if you read the comics, then you know what have happened. It's like it's the ultimate gut punch.
So you're going Hogan.
I've got to go Hogan in this respect.
All right, finally, DDP Ultimate Warrior, Brent.
DDP. He was the Warrior. Warrior had the fan. He was a big baby face, but DDP was the light that shone through during the NWO. He was the working guy who was fighting against the machine, and you know, came through the crowd, left through the crowd. The crowd was with him. He's the light in the darkness for WCW at that point. Warrior was a good baby face, but he also liked money, so he was never fully established in WWE as much as he could have been.
Okay, so you're going DDP.
DDP.
Keishi.
Good God.
Now, earlier today, before I was not going to do the show, I had picked whoever was going Edge of the Warrior over DDP, and then I thought about it, and I'm going to change my mind to pick DDP.
Okay.
Because he was a people's champion. He was like, if you look at DDP, he was very much an everyman. And you could tell that, like, he was out there for the people. I'm not saying that Warrior wasn't out there for the people, but the Warrior was also, like, his mind was in another universe where, like, I don't know, DDP was much like Austin. DDP was a relatable everyman. He was that blue collar. He represented like the blue collar everyman in the crowd. But he wasn't doing it in sort of like a anti-establishment sort of way, unless that establishment was like the NWO. So he did it. He was like Austin, but in more of a babyface way than Austin was, if that makes any sense.
Okay. So another one for DDP, Tim.
Oh, okay. Let's make sure my mic's still working.
Yeah, you're good.
I really can't add a shit ton of discussion to this at all from what the other two guys have said. DDP is very comparable to Rey Mysterio as being one of the ultimate underdogs. The big difference between Rey and DDP is about 2.5 feet, or at least it seems like it.
And some taped up ribs.
So, yeah, no, DDP is my pick for this one.
All right, so there you go. So next week, final show of 2022. Took a year or so to get to this point. The final four, Steve Austin versus Rey Mysterio. And Hulk Hogan versus DDP. Who is the all-time greatest babyface? We will decide next week.
For some reason, Lindsay hates us all. What'd you do?
Oh, we made Wyatt Family references.
You made which?
Wyatt Family
references.
Oh, I see.
Because Randy Orton was part of the family.
Okay, but was he? Really?
He was.
Okay, but was he? Anyway,
I don't know.
Enough of that nonsense. I mean, we're done for tonight.
Oh, since we have Tim, because Tim's never answered this question.
What?
Is Fuzzy, was he a bear?
Oh, God. Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear, but he wasn't fuzzy, was he?
But was he a bear?
But he was a bear.
But was he?
He was a bear with no hair.
But was he a bear?
He was a bear. Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear.
See, he's not a bear. Fuzzy Wuzzy was not a bear.
Well, what was Fuzzy Wuzzy?
I don't know, but it wasn't a bear.
Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear.
Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear.
Fuzzy Wuzzy had no hair.
And there you go.
But right. Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear.
Was not.
Maybe Fuzzy Wuzzy was a tanuki.
He was a bald bear.
Alright, let's plug some stuff, Tim.
Anyway, yeah, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw is a post show.
The Raw post show live, 11 p.m. Eastern.
And then Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, Lindsay Ward gets to show up and tell everybody how much she hates all of us for making Bray Wyatt family references. The show is called The Rack. It's multi-time award-winning. And Lindsay Ward is your host. And, of course, Sorokin joins her.
News, notes, and we're talking NXT Deadline this Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's The Rack.
And, you should play Fortnite with friends on twitch.tv/WTR Live.
We brought it back this week. Twitch.tv/WTR Live, 10:30-ish Eastern is Fortnite with friends and stuff like that before CB Radio, which is at midnight-ish. The final show is this Saturday for 2022.
There you go. Speaking about final shows of 2022, CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as we can get to it.
What I just said. That is exactly what I just said. The final show of CB Radio for 2022 is Saturday, midnight-ish.
Well, I know. Our final show of 2022, or before Christmas, which will be the final show of 2022, because we're not going to do a show on New Year's Eve either. That'll be next Sunday night.
Or New Year's Day. Maybe we'll do one on New Year's Day. Who knows? We'll figure that out.
I won't be around New Year's. Wait a minute.
New Year's Day. Day. Not Eve. Day. New Year's Day. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, that's right.
Figure it out. Anyway.
I might. Yeah, that's right. It's December 32nd next.
Anyway, we'll be live next Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. The finals of the all-time greatest. It's at WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Casey's on the Twitters. Casey, go.
Yeah, find me on the Twitter and the Instagram at Kyle Driver. Like spelling the word pile driver, but with a K, because it's funny. Find me tweeting about not a whole lot right now, because I think most local wrestling is off for the rest of the year. So it'll probably just be, I don't know,
stuff.
Retweeting stuff that happened throughout the year wrestling related. You can also find some of my merch at Redbubble. It's a print-to-order store. You can find the link to that in the descriptions of my Twitter and Instagram. I made a Christmas-style design because, I don't know, reasons.
Christmas?
Yeah.
Good stocking stuffer.
And I think if you order relatively soon, you still might get stuff before Christmas. So if you feel like supporting me in a merch/monetary way, you can go do that. I have nothing else. Thank you.
Brent's on Twitter.
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at King Kittens. Sometimes I post some stuff just to make some friends. We'll see if that happens in the near future. Other than that, Ruck, are we doing year-end pick next week?
We'll figure it out.
Okay, I just need to know if I need to have the list prepped for as well.
We'll talk.
Okay, sounds good. Stay tuned, everyone.
Tim's on Twitter.
I am, at Flames Forums, and unlike those other two guys, I'm posting on a regular, and I'm not just talking about wrestling. I'm not just talking about hockey. I'm tweeting like a man possessed. It's incredible.
And soon,
follow me.
And soon you'll have 4,000 characters.
They're like that's tweet extra or whatever they call that. Tweet more.
How much is that?
$8.
How much is tweet longer?
Tweet more. That's awesome. I'm hungry.
That used to be my, that was my mother's favorite candy bar back in the day when they still made it with molasses. Eat more. That's a Canadian candy. I don't think they have that in the States.
That's probably why I'm the only one who laughed.
Oh, okay.
So he's at Flames Forums.
Yeah, I'm at Flames Forums. Follow me if you don't. If you do, interact with me because, yeah, I'll get right in your face. No problem at all. We'll have fun. Follow me on Twitter.
All right, that's our show.
Join us next Sunday night at 10 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain for another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio. Have yourselves a great week, kids.
WildTalkRadio.com.